chapter 17. I guess I ought to bring my Bible. That'd come in handy. Yes, I'm looking. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This story, I'm kind of starting not at the very beginning because it's a long story. It's a familiar one, David and Goliath, and David fought Goliath. And we get down there in verse 40, be a good place for us to start what I want to talk to you about this morning. The Bible says there, 1 Samuel 17:40, speaking about David, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Excuse me. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come into the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded in the Philistines of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath, and unto Ekron. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, our singing, our fellowship. Lord, we pray now that you speak to our hearts, Lord, that we be aware of your presence here today. Fill us with yourself. For those of us that are saved, and if there's one here that's not saved, we pray today will be the day they exercise faith in you, trust you, and be eternally saved. We'll ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The action of faith. The action of faith is the title of the message, and this is a familiar text for a lot of people. A lot of people heard these stories about David and Goliath when they were kids in Sunday school, and and leading up to it, what had happened? There was a big valley there, and the Valley of Elah, and on one side the Philistine army and is all lined up, and on the other side was the Israelites' army. And probably neither one wanted to make the first move, because if you got down in the valley and they were on higher ground, you were at disadvantage already. But the Philistines had this champion. Goliath was his name. Big guy. 9'9" was his measurements when you read it in the Bible. 9'9", that's a big dude. Man, NBA could use him today. You know, NFL football team, use that. But 9'9", and there he was, and he cursed Israel. He was out there every day. He was cursing the Israelites. And you can imagine being in the Israelite army, that you're standing up there and there's a guy down there 9'9" saying, you know, come on down. I mean, Saul was a big guy, but he wasn't that big. And everybody's thinking, man, I don't want to go down there and fight that guy. And the whole army, that, you know, they wouldn't go. Nobody went. And so he cursed them. Boy, he cursed them every day, and he was cursing their God, which is the true God, the God, you know, God's people. And they were afraid. You know, fear always immobilizes us, no matter what. A lot of times, either it immobilizes us or causes us to do something real stupid, one or the other. But most of the time, fear just kind of stops you from going forward in any way, shape, or form. They were worried about it. Now, remember, these are God's people. And we always say, well, you know, we ought to have faith, right? We're God's people. We're supposed to have faith. Right, Christine? I was just kidding with her. She was getting ready to go up and sing. And she, oh, I got faith. I said, if you was had faith, you wouldn't be looking at me like that. But So you went. So it didn't immobilize her, but she went. But God's people were supposed to have faith. And you ever wonder this? Now, I think about things a lot of times. We wonder how, we know what God can do, right? God can do a million things. God can speak. He can blink his eyes, snap his fingers. How come God, when that happened, why didn't God just strike Goliath dead? Right there in the valley, man. He's down there cursing God. He's out there cursing God. He's cursing God's people. Why not a lightning bolt? Boom, poof. Instead of 9'9", he'd be 9 feet under, right? Well, how about just the ground opened up and swallowed him up? And all the, why didn't God do that? I mean, we're supposed to have faith in God, right? Why didn't God take care of that problem for us right there? Well, it didn't happen. Listen, I mean, God's people, they were supposed to have faith, but here's the problem. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith, or somebody went until David came along. Now, listen, David, I didn't get on all the background on David. They figured David might have been around 14 years old. And he went down there and slew Goliath. He was an average-sized guy. He wasn't real tall, but he was just an average guy. Went down there and, you know, he just said, listen, I'm going to go down. You heard what I read. You're defying the armies of the living God. I'm going to go down there and trust God and did it. But see, he didn't have faith. Now, faith is a lot like love. I preached on love last week, and love is an action word. I'm going to tell you something. Faith is an action word. Everybody says they have faith. You know, everybody says they have it. I shared this illustration with you for the sake of those that weren't here. Before I'll give it to you. You might have forgot about the guy that could walk across a tightrope. They had a tightrope stretched between like the two World Trade Centers or across some big Grand Canyon or something. And the guy, man, he walked across it with the balance, you know, the thing. And he backwards, and he was out there standing on one foot. And boy, everybody's cheering him on. And one guy said, man, that guy's awesome. That guy's awesome, man. That's the greatest guy in the world, man. I believe that guy can do anything. He can walk. And so the guy said, The balance beam, the guy that was on the wire, he said over to the crowd, this one guy was real mouthy about it. He was like, man, he's really good. He can do it. He was really like believing in the guy. And he said, this man that was on the wire, he said, do you believe that I could roll a man across this wire in a wheelbarrow, to the other side? And back? Oh, yeah, yeah, man, I believe. Ain't no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. He said, okay, get in. See, everybody. Everybody yaks it up, man, that we got faith, right? So everybody could have been over there and Israel. Can God take care of this problem? Oh, yeah, yeah, God take care of it. All right, we'll go on down there and take care of God. Now we got to get in the battle, right? So here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight, but at the same time we have to see faith. But we see faith in other people. We just read about it. We all see faith in other people. We can see it. But to see it yourself, for real, you have to exercise it. See, because when you see faith in somebody else's faith, you're not seeing your faith, you're seeing their faith. Right? So I want to walk by faith. How do I walk is the action word, right? We're studying how to study the Bible on Wednesday night, so we learn how to, like, look at each word, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. No, we don't stand on this side of the valley looking at the other side of the valley thinking God's going to take care of the problem and say, well, I'm walking by faith. No, you're not. You're standing there quivering in your shoes and saying that you got faith in God, but you don't have faith in God. No, we walk by faith. That means walk is a movement. You know, like right now, am I walking? No, I'm standing. Now I'm walking. That's a movement. I'm walking. And I'm not walking away, you know, going. They were ready to do some walking, but they want to go the other direction, right? So we have to exercise faith. We can't just see it in everybody else. We can't even see that, you know, we can say, well, I have faith in God. God, why don't you just send a lightning bolt down and kill Goliath and kill all the other army, wipe them out. You do that and I'll have faith in God. No, you wouldn't really have faith. See, You just really wouldn't have it. In other words, faith has to work in you for you to really have faith. And so it's kind of a deep thing. You have to think about that. And so everybody, like I said, they say they believe in God. Believe is a deep word. It's a heavy word. You know, belief is it's not just mentally. It's in the heart. It's in the life. And so it's not really saving faith. Our life in action bears out whether or not we have faith or not. It's a life of faith. James 2:14 says this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" If he doesn't have any action attached to it, in other words, is it saving faith? Well, the answer is no, it doesn't say that, but I'll tell you in a minute. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So in the intellectual sense of belief, the devils know that God is real. Satan knows that Jesus is real. He knows about the cross. He knows about all that, but he's not saved. Satan's not saved. He just believes that he existed. That's not the same as saving faith, putting trust in him. James in verse 20 of that same text, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now, James isn't saying that you're saved by works. He's talking about faith in front of men. Paul talks about it another way. Paul speaks about faith in the sight of God. It's apart from works, you know, that we're not justified by works in the sight of God. But faith to be seen, the action word, it's seen by others, is when we have, you know, saving faith produces things that can be seen, I guess, put it away. So we think about that type of faith. I'm going to speak to you about two things about faith, a victorious faith, which is what we need to have, the very first thing. Victorious faith is seen through the lives of people. Now, this is why I don't think that God always just kills. Why didn't God kill Goliath? Why didn't God just wipe him out and take care of it? You know, you think about things like Jericho. I mean, when the Israelites came to Jericho, you know what happened? They had to go around the city once a day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, go seventh time, blow the trumpet, and the walls fell down. But you know, when the walls fell down, that wasn't the end of the deal. God just took an obstacle out of the way. They still had to go in there and fight the people in the city and take Jericho, right? So God does work. You know, and God usually works through men. Men in mankind sense, women, men. God works through people, right? So there's a case in the Bible where there was an army outside the city, and the Assyrians were out there, and during the night they all died. God killed them. An angel came through the camp, whatever, and they were all dead. And when Israel got the next day, they went out there and they were gone. They were dead. But that doesn't happen very often. That didn't happen. There was a time when Elisha and his servant were in trouble, and Elisha's servant said, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said, Elisha prayed, "God, open up his eyes, open my servant's eyes up that he can see." And God opened his eyes, and he saw a ring of chariots of fire protecting him around about. That happens sometimes as well, but not usually. Usually God works through his people. So we look at these verses about David in verse 46. He went back and said, I got on the wrong page, verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand," right? He didn't say the Lord's going to deliver thee. He said the Lord's going to deliver thee into my hand, because God is going to be with David and he's going to be exercising faith, you know, in works. He said, "I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Right? That God's working through people. Now, David knew that really God was doing it, but God was working through him to get it done. That, you know, that's how it happens. And so, you know, and he went on in verse 47, he said, "The Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." Now, we know that at the end there, after he got a sling and threw a rock and hit him in the forehead, and it knocked him down, knocked him out, and he went over and he didn't have a sword, and he took Goliath's sword out and lopped his head off and took care of it. But see, God was involved in all this. It was a faith thing. It seems like a contradiction. He said, well, the Lord doesn't save with sword and spear, but yet David used a sling and a stone, and then he also took Goliath's sword and and lopped his head off. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction. David had faith, see, but Israel did not have faith. They had to see God working through a person, not just God working within himself. They had to see this. I mean, it'd be nice just to sit around and God just took care of everything, right? What does it say? We're going to earn our bread by the sweat of our brow. Wouldn't it be nice? You didn't have to get up and go to work. You just sit up in the morning, like old Psychic Friends Network said, oh, the checks just came rolling in. Huh? We run out to the mailbox and, nothing happens, man. Huh, Daryl, down there where you work, they're just going to send you money. Don't worry about going in no more. Oh, I'm just going to trust God, right? I'm going to trust God, and the check's just going to come rolling in, right? That's a good one. Wouldn't it be nice if that worked that way? But that's not how it worked. Listen. David had this faith. Goliath was a big guy. He was a man of war. Like I said, David was about 14, yet God delivered his people through a man of faith. Here was David with a weapon in his hand. That's how God delivered him. They just all sit around and say, well, maybe that's what they were doing. I think it was something like 30, 40 days. I think they were up there 40 days. I think it's about right. Maybe that's what they were doing. They all sitting up there at camp saying, well, I sure wish God would go ahead and take care of this guy. Why didn't they just go to the house? God will take care of it. Let's go to the house. Huh? Didn't happen, did it? Because God works through people. God delivers his people through people. He uses somebody with faith. Amen. So there was a 14-year-old boy with a weapon in his hand, went down, acting in faith. And he took care of that problem. God didn't just take care of the problem, but he took care of the problem through a man. Here was this guy. Israel looked around and they saw this. You know, here they all, these guys had been in battles before. David, it says about Goliath, actually, that he was a man of war from his youth. And David wasn't nothing but a youth. He hadn't been a man of war. Here, you imagine that? Huh? You're talking about being put to shame. There you are in the Israelites' army, supposed to be trusting God. Saul had a bunch of armor, as a matter of fact. What are you going to do? Saul was the biggest guy in the Israeli army. He ain't going out there and fighting Goliath. But we know he wasn't a man of faith, right? Saul even said, here, David, try this armor on. David tried it all on. He said, man, this stuff don't fit. I'm not used to it. I haven't used it. I don't even know what to do. Just take it off. I don't need it. And I don't need it. And boy, when that happened and he went down there and took that and he killed Goliath. Listen, and they heard what David said. They heard what David said to Goliath. They said, man, this was God. God did this. God did this, even though David was the one. David was the one. In the book of Judges, you go to the book of Judges. How did God deliver his people? Raised up a man with a weapon in his hand. Samson? Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. 1,000. Now you know that's God. He hung on to that jawbone so long when he got done they couldn't even hardly get his hand off of it. He'd held on to it. They say that people that fought in those days when they had swords and there was a long battle and you're clenching that sword for so long when it's over with your hand, you can't hardly get your hand. You got about pried off of the handle. You've been holding on to it so long. He slew 1,000 men. Why didn't God just wipe them out? Why didn't God just kill them? Why didn't God send an angel in the camp at night and wipe them all out? Why did they? God raised up a man with a weapon in his hand to deliver his people. That's the way God works. I mean, that's what it did. Gideon. We know about Gideon in the book of Judges, right? He had 32,000 men. You know what God said? Nah, I can't deliver my people with 32,000 men. It's too many. Everybody will put the credit to the men and not me. I'm paraphrasing this. So he whittled them down. Everybody that's afraid, go on home. Well, boy, that was a big group. I think he got down to 2,000 right there. Everybody, well, you know, it looked like Otis and Floyd and Goober, you know, when they're trying to get a posse up. And they said, all right, if you're afraid, if you don't want to do it, you know, go on. You can just get out of here right now. They all look at each other and turn around and start going, get back in here. Yeah, 32, you know, anybody's afraid, you don't want to fight, go on home. I said, let's go. And they let him go. And then they got down and he had 2,000, I think, left, 2,000 or 3,000. And God said, nah, still too many. Huh? And man, he went down from 32,000 to 300 men. He goes, all right, that'll be enough. But he still had men. They had to do something. There was action. Faith was action. right? They had to get the pitchers in their hands, and they had to get a trumpet in their hand, and they had to get around the camp, and the people ended up killing herself, but they still had to do something. They had to get down there and trust God for that. Because God, you know, we have to see it that way. We have to see God. God works in our life. God doesn't work, and He can, and He does, and I don't want to say it that way. I don't want to say that God doesn't work outside of our life. He does. But as far as what faith goes with us, God works in our life, with us, through us, for us. You know, it's God working. It's not, He's not working outside. He wants us to be involved in the action of faith. See, it's not just we're just going to sit there and everything's going to take care of itself. No, we have to, and then God gave us a brain and, you know, all those other things. God gave them all, well, some of us. And so, impossible odds, it looks like. But, we note that they didn't sit and do nothing. There was something to do in the area of faith. There always is something to do. And they went and fought. Said, so we had, you know, we had Gideon, we had Samson, man, we had all those. God could have wiped them out, but He delivered through His people, through somebody in the with faith, somebody in the battle. So we think about saving faith. When God wanted to redeem man from sin, He worked through a man. Why didn't God just forgive us? You know, I've talked about it. I don't think His holiness would allow His love to do it. But God could have done something else, right? But what did He do? No, He sent Jesus as a man. Not in His deity, as a man. I shared that with you a while. I talked about somebody at the Sunflower Festival yesterday. Somebody from another church. Worship leader, I said. Did Jesus do anything in His deity when He was on earth as a man? He said, yeah, lots of things. I said, no, He didn't do anything. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. God, of my own self, I can do nothing. Jesus said that Himself. He was showing us how to live. He couldn't do it in His deity because He's showing us how to live as a man. And we don't have deity in the sense of our own self. We have deity in the sense of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but it's still God. So He didn't do anything as deity. He did everything as what He wants us to do. We trust on Jesus like Jesus trusted the Father. And anything that we do, it's God doing it through us, right? He works through a man. God does it through a man, a human being. So when God wanted to redeem men from sin, He worked through a man. He could have overlooked it, I guess, in one sense. I don't think He could have because of His holiness, but that aside, we would say He could have done something else. He could have worked some other way, but He could have, listen, let's go back. God is with faith in God. Could God have kept man from sinning? All the way back to Adam and Eve, could He have kept man from sinning? Amen. Sure, He could have kept temptation away, right? He didn't do that. He could have done it another way. He could have kept man from ever sinning. He never would have been able to show His love the same way, which is why I think He didn't do it that way. And that's a deep thing, and I can talk to you a long time about that. But He could have just not let sin enter, but God didn't do it. He let sin enter. It came in. And so, He could have kept the serpent from tempting Eve, but He didn't do that. And so then he sent His Son as a man to live and die in faith, and then resurrected Him in power and faith to show us exactly how to live in faith. We had to see how to live by faith. Jesus was the ultimate example. We had the Old Testament examples, David, Samson even, and Samson was about as carnal as they come, but God still used him. But Gideon and those guys, we saw that. We see that. But then He showed us through Jesus, He had to show us the perfect life that we could live by faith and God could work through. We had to see it as a man in faith in action through a man, because that's how we are supposed to live as well. He had to show us that way. And so He sent His Son as a man to live and die in faith. And then He lived in that resurrected life, that power of that resurrected life, and He walked by faith. We have to see that. And it was, and all of Jesus' life was a life in action. And that's what our life is to be. He didn't say, let's have faith and hope God the Father would, defeat sin and Satan on His own. Mm-mm, no. By faith, Christ trusted God. He went to the cross. That was the weapon. He had a weapon, a man with a weapon in his hand. The weapon was the cross, because on the cross he defeated everything. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated Satan, all on the cross. You know what? He acted in his humanity too on that, not in his deity. You think, well, nobody else could have went through it mentally and all, but the strength of God, they could. As far as everything they did, they couldn't have paid the penalty for sin because they weren't sinless, but He acted in his humanity, not his deity. Boy, that's why he prayed in the garden. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That means he had another will outside the Father. But he said, not thy will, but my will, but thy will be done. And he prayed and he said, if it's possible for this cup to pass, anybody, any human would have prayed that prayer, that this cup could pass. But he said, if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So he had to pray that when he went to the cross. And so he was obedient in his humanity, which is what Jesus is showing us, to be obedient by faith, because you could only be obedient, you could only go to the cross by faith. And so technically we go to the cross when it comes to our dying to self by faith. You know, we have to have faith. We have to believe. If we die to self, we have to be, you know, it's still going to the cross. And so it's still the same action. It's an action word. How's this going to turn out? What about this? What if I do that? And what if this happens? Listen, that's not faith. That's not faith. And now God doesn't just listen to me. We get some stupid things said. People say these little pithy things and everybody thinks it sounds really cool. I've heard it. By faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, to God alone be the glory. Well, if you got grace through by grace alone, through faith alone, that's two things. So neither one of them are alone, right? Let me tell you something. Grace is not alone. We're not saved by grace alone. We're saved by grace through faith. They have to go together. We're not saved by faith alone, because it's got to have grace. You got to have the grace of God. Faith in what, right? It's not a single thing. Sounds cool. It all rhymes. But it's not, if it's two, it's not alone. If there's two, it's not alone. So it's grace through faith. We're not saved just by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. If we were saved just by grace, everybody in the world would be saved. By God's grace, everybody was saved. But everybody in the world is not saved. Why? Because they didn't exercise faith. By grace through faith. And listen, that's still, you know, God has his hand in that as well. I understand that. And so it's faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, not thy head, thou shalt that God hath raised his son from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's saving faith. Belief there, like I said, it's a big word. It denotes more than a mental assent, but a life of faith. Given your life in belief, which produces, it's an action. It starts producing an action. It's a life of faith. God works the change. We don't do it. God works the change. Doesn't operate against our will, though. We still got a will, right? He changes the heart and produces obedience. I mean, he gives the inclination. He works in our mind. He changes our will, but we still have a will. It's not a captivity thing. But the faith, it works, and God uses it for his glory. Faith works, and God uses it for his glory. So we think about this. Listen, the biggest giant that we'll ever face, giants, is sin and self. Those are the biggest giants that we'll ever face in our life, sin and self. I know Satan's involved with the sin and self too, probably. But it's sin and self. Those are the two giants that we face. And death without Christ is another big giant. Death apart from Christ. You're going to face other giants in life. There's going to be other things. Sometimes the one that God uses to deliver you is you. The one that God uses to deliver is you yourself. You. Not some David that's going to exercise faith in God, but you are going to have to exercise faith in God. Amen. This is it. I can't do it for you. That's right. Huh? Man, some people sit around and say, well, you know, I'm going to get saved one day. One of these days, I'm going to get saved. I know I need to get saved. One day, I'm going to, listen, you put it off today, it'll be harder tomorrow. You put it off tomorrow, it'll be harder today. Huh? What's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen that you're going to get saved? Somebody's just going to come on and hit you in the forehead. You've already been convicted. You already know you're lost. You already know you need to be saved, and you got all the what-ifs out there. What do you think's going to happen? David's going to show up with a sling in his hand and slay all the things that are causing you to doubt? You just got to believe God, right? Anybody in that army, right there could have went down there and done what David did if they had just put their faith and trust in God. They didn't have to have a sling. I think anybody in that army could have went down with anything in their hand, another weapon in their hand, and they still would have got the victory over Goliath. God, you know, because they had put their faith in God, but they didn't do it. Sometimes, listen, God ain't going to send a David around for you to take care of it. You have to have the faith. And David wasn't going to live forever either, right? You have to have the faith. So it's you, it's God, but I mean, it's God dealing with you. You're the man. You're the person that has to say, hey, I'm just going to trust God. I have to do it. Your wife can't do it for you, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad, your preacher. We can't do it for you. You know, you have to have faith. You. Doesn't matter. Listen, oh, I'm too young. I'm too middle-aged. I'm too old. And everybody's got a reason. I don't know enough. We're never going to know enough. All we need to know is you're lost. All you need to know is Jesus died for you. All you need to know that he loves you, that you can be saved. That's it. Amen. You know, put faith in that. Well, how's God going to do it? Don't worry about how God's going to do it. God can do it. Amen. Whatever obstacle you got, why? I don't know what God's going to do about it. Listen, don't worry. That's his department, not your department. Your department is knowing that you're lost and knowing that you need to put faith in Jesus Christ to take care of the what ifs and the what abouts, right? All the problems in life. That's it. You're it. For salvation, listen, Jesus did it all. And it's yours if you, by faith, trust him and come to him. That is the action word, coming to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's the message for you today. Come on up here, William. We'll have our invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you.